Next up, we have 2212. Tracy, would you read this summary, please?
Yes, it's 2212. The woman is Donnie Spring, and the woman is Barbara Gavinsky, DBM. On July 10th, 2021, Darwin, a 20-year-old male, established territory, was presented to respond to the main danger. Complaint expressed concerns that due to her being an employee of the premises, the dog was not handled respectfully. The dog was not euthanized in a timely manner, causing unnecessary suffering. Additionally, the dog was not placed in cold storage for some time after the euthanasia, and complaint had to walk past the dog's remains while she worked her shift. And it was concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to the board to say this is a true violation. The motion was approved by the board to zero.
All right, so we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll, monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And we do have a complainant and witness?
On the complaint.
Complainant? Would you care to address the board?
Yes. Would you like me to?
Please come forward.
My name is Donnie Spring.
Thank you. I'll give you 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay, fine. When I came in for euthanasia, there was no established procedure in place by the clinic. We don't have anything indicated. We never have had one in the past. He had been previously diagnosed with cancer. Hadn't had any issues prior to this. We went to an oncologist. They decided that basically there wasn't any further treatment because we would have made it worse. So I decided to live out his quality of life. That morning when I woke up, he was not able to stand. He was panting. He was in pain. And, you know, unable to go out to the restroom. So I did call the clinic, spoke with the office manager, as well as the technician, and let them know that I was bringing the dog in. I brought the dog in a little bit before 8 o'clock. The clinic did not open until 9. And the reason for that was that I was basically going to be the person up front. So I wanted to ensure that the dog was, you know, basically taken care of by the vet prior to the other clients coming in. We did not have any emergencies at that time coming in. And the doctor looked at the dog and basically threw a file at me and said, well, you have to play by the rules like by everybody else. I was there with my nephew, and the dog got moved several times. And I was just surprised why it wasn't taken care of on a timely basis. I didn't understand why, because for whatever reason, whatever perceived reason, that the dog had to be continued to be moved and continue to suffer when it could have been a quick thing. So that's it.
Thank you. You may step back.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You are employed at that office, is that?
I am no longer employed.
No longer, okay. How long were you employed there?
Over 3.5 years.
What would have been, based on your knowledge from 3.5 years of working there, what would have been the office policy for a walk-in emergency euthanasia?
They would call the front. We don't take walk-ins, per se, because the clinic would not have been open. But they would have called the front desk, and if it was a current client of ours, we would try to work them in as quickly as possible and have the dog or the animal euthanized.
Thank you.
Just one other clarification question. Can I? No?
If we can be brief, this isn't really the opportunity to engage in question and answers with the licensees or the complainants.
I always thought we were only allowed to ask basic questions.
Well, or move to an informal and ask why.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to avoid that. I can probably make my decision without it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stepback.
All right.
And Ms. Frost, you are the lead on this one.
Yes, thank you. Reviewing the complaint and the response, you know, and obviously in the investigative committee, had conversation. There was a reference to, you know, looking at two sides of the story, and, you know, credibility of the stories because they were so different. And, you know, the first thing that came to me was, this is very emotional, for the respondent and for the complainant, you know, this is part of her professional job, you know. So it is really tough to figure out. What was interesting to me, and again, you hear that there's two sides of every story, and then there's somewhere in the middle. And Dr. Kern's statement probably gave me more information on the valid points or valid parts of the story, which did bother me, because she, at least from what I understand, and I'm interested in other perspectives, she had to come in and tell this doctor to do this euthanasia. And that just absolutely doesn't seem appropriate. You know, working in emergency situations and having a lot of emergencies, absolutely you have to stabilize them first. However, human euthanasia is a big part of that professional job. And I've heard from professionals over the years that, yeah, you know, our dogs get prioritized last. And maybe that's true in a stable case and situation because you do have your patients to take care of. I don't really understand it in this situation. So there were two, I kind of had two ideas. One is the one sticking out to me, and so I'll make the motion that we would have a conversation. I would make a motion to move this to an informal so that we can ask more questions. I would definitely like to ask Dr. Kremenski more questions also. Again, because this letter from Dr. Kern just gives me a completely different perspective. So that's my motion.
Second.
Okay. Motion on the floor is second to move case 2012 to an informal. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. And 2012 will move to an informal. So we'll go back up to the top. Case 2206. Tracy's summary the same for both 2206, 2207?
Yes, it is. And this case is Dr. Nomsky has recused.
Oh, yes.
Case 2206, intake is Michael and Tommy Ballard, and respondent is Monica Yardy. Vivian, case 2207, the complaint is the same, and the respondent is Michael Walker, DVM. On May 24th, 2021, Tracy, an 11-year-old female terrier, was presented to Dr. Rundy for a oral exam to have mass evaluated. Complainants stated they were concerned with a growth that was located on the left side of the dog's chest. But after Rundy examined the dog, complainants expressed concerns with the mass on the left front leg. She recommended having the mass removed at the time of the dental procedure. On July 6, 2021, the dog was presented to Dr. Walker to have teeth cleaned with the possible extractions and a mass removal. Dr. Walker was not completely sure which mass complainant wanted removed. He reviewed the medical records, the diagram the pet owner marked, spoke with staff, and examined the dog. Dr. Walker settled on a mass on the left front leg as the one that complainant wanted removed. After the procedure that day, the dog was discharged. After arriving home, complainants realized the wrong mass was removed. On case 2206, the committee concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue of no violation. And on case 2207, the committee concluded that possible violations of the veterinary practice act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board fine. NRS 3222-3212 as it relates to R311-5111 for failure to show respect to the animal owner, to regard his thermal interchange, by not calling him prior to surgery to ensure correct mass was removed from the dog, not speaking to the pet owner when he returned that day with concerns the wrong mass was removed, and did not return calls or speak to the pet owner at the recheck appointment to follow up with their concerns. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, we have no respondent, no complainant for either case. Dr. Nosley is recused from both cases. And we'll take them one at a time. So 2206 first, Dr. James is the lead on both cases.
So in case of 2206, I mean, I don't see where this doctor did anything wrong. I felt like the medical workers were fairly well documented as to the bell issues as well as the masses. So I would make a motion in 2206 that we find the violations of our practice act.
Second.
A motion on the floor, a second to dismiss case 2206. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. And 2207.
So 2207, in this case, I definitely feel like the concern here was with the communication with the owner rather than the care provided. I mean, certainly the wrong mask, according to the owner, was taken off, but maybe the right mask was taken off in accordance with what medically should have been done. So I can see where there would have been confusion, and I think this doctor did offer to do the second mask removal at a lower cost or decrease cost. So I feel like from that standpoint, everything was okay. I think the concern comes into why this owner wasn't called. I mean, I can't get my wrap my head around having a case where you remove the wrong mask and you go 10 or 12 days before calling the owner. Like, I just can't get where we think that that's a good idea. I think there was some, you know, thought that the receptionist was handling it and things like that, but on something that is as significant as removing the wrong mask, I feel like the doctor owed it to this owner, and maybe we wouldn't have been here if they had called. So, and I think that's what I heard from the investigative committee as well, was clearly that this was a communication problem. In other cases like this, I feel like sometimes we do a letter of concern in these cases, and sometimes we find a violation. So that was my only thought, was whether it's actually a violation or more of a letter of concern. Any comments from the other?
I guess when I read this and I see, yes, there was comments in the notes from the previous doctor where this mask was, but when you look at the little chart that the owner actually filled out, it is different than what is mentioned in the notes. And so, like, as a doctor who's performing that surgery, if there's any ambiguity, you need to call that person and determine what am I doing, especially when you know that there's multiple things. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've probably all been in that situation, and you want to make sure that you are doing the right thing. So, I mean, I guess for me, that's the big piece of it. And then the follow-up, I mean, it's communication there and making sure that you are doing the correct procedure, and then the follow-up communication. Wow, yeah, we really kind of messed up here, and I apologize for it, not hide from the problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, we just kind of dropped the ball several different times on this one, and I don't know if he's, you know, overworked, understaffed, you know, what the excuse is, but he really failed these clients.
He did say there was a new surgical admitting tech, which might have played into this as well, but even more reason why you should have probably followed up and called. So I understand. I mean, I kind of had both pre-surgery as well as post-surgery communication in that as well, but
really see admitted where it failed, so.
Then I guess in the case of 2207, I'll make a motion that we offer Dr. Walker a consent agreement for the violation of the courteous verbal interchange and follow up both pre and post surgery with the owner. So it's 3222, 32, number 12, as it relates to R311501.
Second.
Second.
A motion on the floor, any second?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question, clarification. So you're citing a violation by reading that article or not?
I'm finding the violation and then offering a consent agreement. So I think the next motion, I have to do the proposed findings of fact, approve the proposed findings of fact, but I do those separate, right?
I'm sorry?
Do I can do those separate, right?
You can do it separate.
So the motion is for a letter?
Our motion right now is a consent agreement with the violation of 3232.
Sorry, I didn't hear it at all, thank you.
Okay, so we got a motion on the floor. Find a violation, offer consent agreement, and we have a second. Any further discussion? Do a roll call.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lodey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll make a motion to accept the proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law as written.
Second.
We just did the conclusions of law, so we just adopted the findings of fact at this point.
Second.
All right, a motion on the floor, any second to adopt investigative committee's findings of fact as our findings of fact. Any other discussion? Let's do roll call.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lodey?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So as far as the next step on a consent agreement, can I ask if there's any priors before we discuss that?
Yes. There was just one issue in 2002 where Dr. Walker was issued a letter of concern for medical record, inadequate medical records.
So I would say for the consent agreement that we do a year probation, 3 hours of CE and client communication, and a $500 civil penalty.
We have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Second.
And Dr. James, just for clarification, is the civil penalty to be paid within that year or sooner?
We can do that sooner than that.
Yeah, we tie it all in together because there's CE also, yeah.
Okay. So we'll put it in here. Eventually, I'll get this all around.
All right, we've got a motion on the floor and a second. Is there any discussion? I guess I would question the $500 for the first. Yeah, first violation. Typically, we haven't done that. Typically, that's the second, and then we go to the.
You do zero on the first? Or, I haven't seen the 250. That's why I was trying to go back in my notes, and all I saw was 500 is the lowest.
Well, because I think it wasn't the first.
Right, but
yeah.
If 500 has always been the lowest that I could find in my notes, I couldn't figure out what we did.
I know we've done 100, 200, 250, 300. We've done 100 increments.
Do we have kind of a set schedule for this, like first offense, second offense kind of thing?
I think historically there was not a civil penalty on the first probationary period with CE, but of course that's always up to you.
I mean, I can find amending it to no civil penalty. I just don't know what one I can find historically was 500, so. But if you guys are okay, 500 to zero, I don't know.
Second.
All right. CA is amended, 1 year probation and completing 3 hours of CE in communication, zero civil penalty. As amended, second. Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
That concludes that case, and we are up to case number 2210. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2210, the defendant is David Robion, and the respondent is Megan Pizana, DBM, on access 2211, 2860, male, who is Mr. Pizana, to respond to home emergency for a moderate to severe recurring cough. An exam with diagnostic work performed. Radiographs revealed cardiovascular and the narrowing of the trachea. Blood work revealed liver changes. After reviewing the findings for the complainant, butorphanol and serenia were administered and the doctor discharged with a written prescription of pimavanserin and cough tabs. Respondent also recommended pursuing an abdominal ultrasound to evaluate the liver and gallbladder and a cardiologist for possible heart disease. Complainant was expecting respondent to return to the exam room with recommendations, which would include referral to a cardiologist. Complainant was then advised that respondent was busy and could email him later in the day. Complainant did not receive the information and corresponded via text message with staff regarding his concern in the following days. August 10th, 2021, the doc was presented to the primary care veterinarian for a recheck and follow-up from the emergency visit. And the meeting concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice act occurred, and it was moved and seconded for dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Behind you. No respondent monitoring, Mr. Stoll?
Yes, sir.
And no complainant. And Dr. Nosley, first lead case.
Okay, on 2110, reading through this case, this has some medical issues that I think need to be discussed, and also some communication issues. And I definitely have questions for both the complainant and the respondent in this case. There are some very differing stories in regards to the communication, and there are also some medical issues with some diagnostics that were done. So I think I'd like to make a motion to move this to the informant.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to move 2210 to an informal. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. We'll move 2210 to an informal. Next up. We have 2214. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2214. The complainant is Genevieve Rupert and her son is Ryan Wassup, BFSC. On November 7th, 2020, Nala, a 12-year-old female living Titan Spaniel, was presented to respond for vomiting and anorexia. The dog had a history of spine cancer. Diagnostics were performed. Respondent discussed the findings of the complainant, which included pancreatitis, pancreatic abscess, and pancreatic necrosis, and recommended further diagnostics, exploratory surgery, or humane euthanasia. Complainant analysis is exploratory surgery. Respondent found virulent fluid in the abdomen and a 3-inch duodenal mass visible to the pylorus, the liver, and right pancreas. The mass was perforated and oozing yellowish-green fluid, which was suspected to be intestinal content. The mass was friable and began to tear when complainant attempted removal. Respondent contacted complainant and recommended humane euthanasia or referral to a surgical specialist. prevention, surgical consult. The doctor may hospitalize and recommend a surgeon at ECKS that would consider performing a surgery on the doctor. On November 9th, 2021, the doctor was transferred to UC Davis for a doctor's treatment for pancreatitis. The doctor was discharged in a couple days later. On December 17th, 2020, the doctor was presented to UC Davis for a recheck. The pancreatitis had improved, however, the abdominal masses appeared progressive with inconclusive test results. Follow-up with an oncology service was recommended. The woman expressed concerns that responded in every bathroom that the doctor posted had pancreatitis and that tissue samples out of the mass were not obtained during the exploratory surgery. The woman concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice had occurred and that it was moved to second that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And no complainant. And Dr. Nosley, you're up again.
In 2214, very complicated case. And the two main complaints seem to be that all of a sudden, somewhere after this case had gone all the way to UC Davis, all of a sudden we have the complainant shocked that there's a diagnosis of pancreatitis. And I certainly have some concerns with that. Dr. Wasif, that was his primary diagnosis, tentative diagnosis going into this. And he ran a test for it. They had discussions. This case has pancreatitis written all over it, and I should qualify that by saying pancreatitis doesn't mean anything other than inflammation of the pancreas. It's not a specific disease. It just means the pancreas is inflamed. Well, certainly if you read through this case and see where this mass was and what was going on, yeah, there's pancreatitis. Everybody agreed, Dr. Wasif, UC Davis, and I just have a problem with the complainant saying that I was shocked at the diagnosis of pancreatitis. Also, the care that was given by Dr. Wasif would be the care that you would give for pancreatitis. It's support, fluids, antibiotics, and so forth. And the dog got better. So that same care was then given at UC Davis. Again, this is treating that pancreatic inflammation. So I don't think that has any, I can't put any weight on that complaint. The other part of that is that the doctor didn't take any tissue biopsies at the time he did the exploratory. And while you could make a little bit more of a case that that would have been a good idea, the problem with that is if you read through this and see what kind of mass he was faced with, its location, involving the duodenum with a leak in it, involving the pancreas, involving the liver and adhesions, and there's one picture and you can see him struggling to try to get an evaluation of this mass. I would have some concerns about biopsy of that mass. I think he thought this is a terrible cancer in this area. I question whether anyone could have done any kind of surgery on this dog. And maybe he could have made that a little more clear. So I looked at that and said, well, was that really a mistake not taking biopsy? And I think in retrospect, he probably wished he had gone ahead and taken the risk. I don't know that. So his care actually was excellent all the way through. And so in conclusion, I would say that I would agree with the committee that it should be dismissed, no biopsy.
Second that.
Motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2214. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, to a vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. 2214 is dismissed.
Mr. Wilkie?
Yes.
The board. If we could just circle back to 2207, that was the case that we offered the consent agreement. I don't recall, did we also include a motion that if not signed, invited for an informal?
No.
Can we go ahead and circle back and do that just to?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Back to 2207 and Dr. James. And Dr. Nodley's accused, we're not going to make him get up and walk away.
Or just a new motion regarding if the consent agreement is not signed within 30 days?
Yeah, just a new motion.
A new motion.
Like if in the event the consent agreement is not signed within 30 days, invite any board informal.
So for 2207, I'll make a motion that if the consent agreement is not signed within 30 days, we'll move the case to a formal.
Thanks.
Second.
Motion on the floor, a second to move 2207 to an informal if the consent agreement is not signed within 30 days. Any further discussion? Dr. Nodley is recused on this one. Let's do a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Loki?
Aye.
Dr. Nodley?
Nope, recused.
He's recused.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
That motion passes. And we got that to our 9:45 and not here. So now it's going to be a good time with an empty room, or almost empty room, to do our 2251. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Sure. Case 2251, the complaint is no relief for respondent is on the Rutland DVM. The board office received a complaint expressing concerns with respondents and has made comments made at a general school board meeting that was held on October 27th, 2021. Dr. Rutler has not responded to the complaint and the allegations. This matter was not brought to the investigative committee, it was brought directly to the board for your review.
And we have no respondent, no complaint, nobody monitoring. Dr. James is the lead, and while we're discussing this, we're also going to do section 4, number 4, and incorporate case 2196 into this discussion.
So I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session to seek legal advice.
Second.
Motion for a second to go into executive session, seek legal advice, in discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes. We will go into executive session.